everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm joining you live tonight, right here, around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, transmitting Jewel South, right here in the heart of Tennessee, as Brother Blake Higginbotham brings us on tonight with the theme song, Changing Me. Brother Blake lives right here in East Tennessee with Pastor Buddy, right up here in Church Hill. And we send him salutations up there and many blessings for this wonderful song. We love it and hope that you enjoy He's Changing Me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know what kind of a marvelous change it would be if we met our elder brothers from the heavens? Think about it. Now, if you're a Bible-believing believer, you've got to believe that somebody lives out there, that they exist. They're not figments. They're just not little floating misty spirits. They're real beings. You're made in their image. Matter of fact, they're your elders. And tonight we're going to discuss the meeting of the elders. We believe that they're coming, and we do believe that there is two different families out there. One family out there is good, and one family is bad. Well, that's just about the way it is here. It's light and darkness. And the Bible says that light and darkness has no fellowship. In the August 24th and 31st edition of Newsweek, right on the front page, I suggest that you might want to dig it out and take a look at it if you've got it. If not, you might want to drop by the local newsstand and pick up an edition of Newsweek in August. In search of aliens, NASA is out there looking, and 24 other surprising things you may need to know. We're gonna talk about the heavens. Are they occupied? Are there a headship company of mighty ones that dwell in the heavens? We think so. And the earth may be into the biggest change in the history of change when from heaven these elders are revealed. Now, the Bible says that Satan is coming, and he knows he's going to have but a short time. But it also says that Yahweh is coming. So, and both of those, incidentally, both of those have seed. It's amazing. I don't know why people can't figure this out. I don't know why that more people don't understand that we're not alone. You may feel alone because, listen, you know, we just sent up the Mars rovers and landers on Mars. We sent these artificial devices up there to roam around and to do some scientific research and getting ready to go again, and we're scheduled to arrive in 2010. They discovered the sliced time. They discovered that water was on Mars. Now, people got very excited. Where there is water, there could possibly be life. Scientists are planning new missions to study the planet up close. NASA's next Mars rover is scheduled to arrive in 2010, and in the decade following, a Mars sample return mission will be launched, which would use robotic systems to collect samples of Martian rocks, soils, and atmosphere, and get this now, and return to Earth. We could then analyze the sample, like we did the moon rocks, to see if it contains any traces of life, whether extinct or still active. Such a discovery would be of tremendous scientific significance. Now, what could be more fascinating than discovering life that had evolved entirely independently of life here on Earth? Many people would also find it heartening to learn that we're not alone in this vast expanse of the cold cosmos. Now, here it is, ladies and gentlemen, in this report. It says, if we discover traces of some simple extinct life form. Now, why would they be writing this? Why would our scientists be doing all this if they did not believe the Bible? That there is literally, you know, there is literally life that exists in the cosmos. Now, here's another fact. Listen to this very closely. There are on the order of 100 billion stars in our galaxy alone. And the observable universe contains on the order, listen to this now, this will blow your mind, of 100 billion galaxies similar to our galaxy. In the last couple of decades, we have learned that many of these stars have planets circling around them. By now, several hundred exoplanets we have discovered, and most of these are gigantic. But this is due to a selection effect. It is very difficult to detect smaller exoplanets with current observation methods. In most cases, the planets cannot be directly observed. Their existence is inferred from their gravitational influence on their parent sun, which wobbles slightly when pulled towards a large orbiting planet. Or alternatively, by a slight fluctuation in the sun's perceived luminosity, which occurs when it is partially eclipsed by the exoplanet. Just like it is here on Earth. We have every reason to believe that the observable universe contains vast numbers of solar systems, including many that have planets that are Earth, like our Earth, or like at least in the sense of having a mass and a temperature similar to those of our own orbit. We also know that many of these solar systems are much older than ours. Now listen to this. This is, of course, you know, I can just hear the Christians. Oh, boy, that Bible says, glory to God, that the earth is just 6,000 years old, approximately, that God created earth and then he put Adam on it. Well, it don't say no such thing. That's what you have conceived through false teaching. The Bible says that Adam was introduced 6,000 years ago, approximately, to replenish the earth. Now that's what it says, to replenish, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. What was here before Adam? The oldest confirmed microfossils date from approximately 3,500 million years ago. Now, can you comprehend that? The oldest confirmed microfossils date, and science has a way of dating this, ladies and gentlemen. You may not believe it, but they are approximately 3,500 million years old, and there is tentative evidence that life might have existed. Listen to this now: a few 100 million years prior to that date, with no evidence of life before 3,800 million years ago. Life might well have arisen considerably earlier than that without leaving any traces that are very well preserved, that are very well preserved rock formations this old. And such as have survived have undergone major remodeling over the eons. Nevertheless, there is a period lasting several hundred of millions of years between the formation of Earth and the first known life. The evidence is thus consistent with the hypothesis that the emergence of life required an extremely improbable set of coincidences, and that it took hundreds of millions of years of trial and error, of molecules that surface structures randomly interacting before something capable of self-replication happened to appear by a stroke of astronomical luck. Now, this is a scientific view of it, thinking that we washed up as a little glob from the waters. How did waters get here? How did the glob get here? You know, this is where science is, you know, but of course they're going on scientific reasoning. They do not. They're atheists. Most of these scientists are atheists and will not acknowledge the creator, something that created, or, if you will, the elders that seeded the planet. Would that make a better hypothesis? That we were seeded from another planet? That the Earth is not our home, that we are strangers and pilgrims here? Wouldn't that be a better biblical understanding than the scientific reasoning that we washed up on shore as a little blob and with a stroke of astronomical look, that with millions of years of trial and error of molecules and surface structures randomly interacting before something became capable of self-replication happened to appear by a stroke of astronomical look? For aught we know, that this first critical step could be a great filter system that has designed humanity. Well, if we just drop the word filter and put in the word creators, or creator in this case, that controlled the angelic beings that we know as angels, and these are the ancient orders. Would you like to meet one? Well, the Bible is full of examples of where we've already met them. Do you believe it? I mean, here's Abraham sitting under a tree in Genesis 18. Here comes three angels. One of them is Yahweh himself. He's the creator. With the two assistants, probably Michael and Gabriel, the two archangels that's mentioned in the Bible. And they had a conversation with him. They ate and drank with him, and they looked like normal men. He wasn't blown away with some strange, hideous creature that dropped out of the universe. How did these fellows traverse this broad expanse? Or are we really living in what appears to be that is not, as Peter had said? Do you know the Bible speaks about the time coming when the heavens are going to roll back like a scroll, and then we'll know the whole truth? Could we be living in a vacuum? Or could this be something that's an illusion here? That all this vast expanse that we look at from the physical standpoint is just there for the purpose of the trial and error of our development, of our evolution, as we work our way back to the Father, and He, being not willing that any should perish, would be long-suffering? It came down in Genesis 18. Somebody, our elders, came down. Have you ever met any of them? Now, you might want to consider this. Now, since we cannot return or rerun the history of life multiple times to obtain rigorous statistics, science says, it is difficult to determine conclusively the difficulty of any given evolutionary development. Very difficult. But what about a master designer? What about an elder that designed in the test tube? Well, right now, we can create life in a test tube right now. Our science is capable of doing it. Can you see an ancient elder with probably three times or four times or five times or a million times the intelligence of our warped physical minds, which is basically always on evil and the love of money, not the pursuit of righteousness and holiness, without which no man shall see Yahweh, the elder? Man, I want to meet the elder. Are you prepared?
Prepare to meet your God, David said.
Well, you say, well, I'm just going to be raptured out to go there with him. The Bible said he's going to return with 10 times 10,000 and hundreds of millions of his saints. And you think the earth is big enough to hold all that? I don't think so. What about the universe? Is there inhabited worlds? It speaks of worlds as opposed to world. The earthling is lodged in his mind, his corrupt carnal mind, that we're the masters of this world. When, in fact, we are only created beings from the masters of other worlds. That's what the reality of this is, ladies and gentlemen. Now, a long delay in time suggests that a vastly many random recombinations had to be tried before one was found that worked. Now, this is science again, trying to work it out. Perhaps several improbable mutations had to occur all at once in order to leap from one local fitness peak to another. The mutations might individually be deleterious and only fitness enhancing when they occur together. The evolution of Homo sapiens from one of our recent hominid ancestors, such as Homo erectus, happened rather quickly on a geological time scale, so this step would be relatively weak candidate for a great filter as opposed to a great elder creator. At the current stage of technical logical development, we have neither sufficient powerful hardware nor the requisite software to create conscious minds and computers. But did you know that they're working on an artificial intelligence that would, robots are already replacing us on the assembly line. Are we going to evolve to the point where that we become the mad scientist that's creating artificial life? Has it been done before? Well, the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. Such a mature stage of technological development would make it possible to convert planets and other astronomical resources into enormously powerful computers. We could just be a computer program playing back on some master elder like the Father. And there's nothing new under the sun. Are we just redoing or replaying this thing? Has Sodom and Gomorrah been? And is it to be? Is the days of Noah been? And is the days of Noah to be? Well, the Messiah said so. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And as it was in the days of Gomorrah, so shall it be. Memory seems to be a more stringent, constraint that processes power. Moreover, since the maximum human sensory bandwidth is 10 over 8 bits per second, simulating all sensory events incurs a negligible cost compared to stimulating the cortical activity of the brain, and we can therefore use the processing power required to stimulate the nervous system of the central core to estimate of the total compensational cost of stimulating a human mind and develop it to do those works like they're doing the robotic exploration out in space. It could come to a time that we don't have to send man out. We send robots with intelligence greater or as great or comparable or equal to the great minds that's creating these things in the laboratory. Now, you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you might be losing your mind. No, I'm not. This is reality, ladies and gentlemen. We've also discovered that water, which is the essential ingredient for life, exists elsewhere in the universe, like I've already told you, starting with our own solar backyard, Mars. Robots have spotted gullies freshly carved in the sides of the Martian hills. Evidence of recent upwelling in June, astronomers observed geysers of water vapor on Enceladus, one of Saturn's moons. Even ghastly Jupiter is a now candidate, or at least its moons, Ganymede, Callisto, and Europa, the last of which has oceans larger than ours hidden beneath its crust of perpetual ice. Now, it's amazing. Here's just a satellite moon that they know now that is dripping in water. Oceans larger than ours on Earth. The question now is how many of those 100 billion potential Earths can we reasonably expect to have harbored H2O and served as a cradle for life or intelligence or not? Enter the Kepler, an ambiguous new NASA mission launched a Vail satellite in March. Kepler's $600 million space telescope that was launched in March now, you may not have heard about it, but it's been launched, uses a sophisticated photometer to stare at all, here it is now, here's the beginning, here's the baby step to a giant reckoning of meeting the elders, to stare at all 100,000 stars located in a particularly promising region of the Milky Way by measuring the size and orbit of every planet that passes in front of them. The larger the shadow, the larger the planet. The more often it appears, the closer the orbit. The point is to isolate for the very first time, there you go now, very first time, alien worlds orbiting alien suns at distances where temperatures are right for liquid water and possible life. Boy, you don't want to get those earthlings out there to pollute and to raise havoc. You know, that wouldn't do the way we've done Earth. But that's what they're doing now, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. We've just launched this giant, sophisticated Kepler's $600 million space telescope that is going to be locked in on 100,000 particularly promising stars or planets in the region of the Milky Way and measuring the size and orbit of every one of them. This is a giant leap forward. Ladies and gentlemen, are we going to meet our elders? Are we going to discover things? Is it the technology that's been given from somewhere else? Where do these minds come from to do all these things? What's in the mind of these people that are looking for alien life in the universe? What would possess them to do so? Could it be the Bible? You think maybe that they know more than the average dumb Christian? If they're able to do something about it, as opposed to just thinking that we're some little whiskey myth, that we're going to float up on a cloud and go sailing in the air? It's not that simple, ladies and gentlemen. That is the religious dogma of stupidity. This mission, the article says here in Newsweek, In Search of Aliens, this mission is like Columbus. There you go now. We are in, it's like Columbus, of course he wasn't the first one to sail, and I'm sure that this mission is not the first one to note it. If the truth's known,
Your government may already be out there. The secret government may already... This might just be camouflage to keep your mind actively anticipating when they are actually out there now. And if you read some of the written material, we possibly could have been there since the late 40s. We have been visited by Kraft UFOs, we call them. Since 1948, we've had an influx. Now, throughout history, there is references to unidentified flying objects in the heavens, coming down from the heavens. The elders, were they there? Were they there in Genesis chapter 6 when the elders came down? And they told us that they were our progenitors, and then they decided to mix with us? That they left seed here? Evidence that Yahweh himself came down here and he mated with Mary? Was it possible that there was any mating going on prior to Mary? I would think so. The Bible is abounding in examples. It's one of the most fascinating subjects that I've ever participated in. It just overwhelms this small speck of dust of the mind that we've got, when we need to have these spiritual giant minds to comprehend that this mission is like Columbus, says the principal investigator, Bill Borucka. We will get Earth-sized planets, terrestrial planets, in the habitable zone. It won't be closed. We will know. We will know. Are we on the verge of knowing something that's been hidden for all these years, until we could advance, technologically advance, to the time that Satan thinks that it's right to be discovered in the heavens? That there will be an announcement that we have contacted intelligent life somewhere in this vast expanse of 100 billion galaxies? And in our galaxy alone, light traveling from one side of the galaxy to the other just takes millions of years to get over here. That should give you some comprehension about the vastness of this planet jungle that's set before us, and that we're just like entering now the Columbia stage of finding out some things that we might not have known. I think if you'd have read the Bible, we'd have known that all along. Now, I don't have the knowledge to get out there, because I have the knowledge to know that we don't have to. They're coming here. I have the knowledge to know they've already been here. That these two warring families, now, oh my, time wouldn't permit me to give you the examples in the Bible of these warring families, how that they have warred over mankind. One to keep the seed clean, and the other to pollute it, and to mingle it together. The war, the genetic wars, is horrendous. Lives have been lost. Men have been delivered purposely, planned purposely, as Satan and his angels has tried to mar or to dirty, if you will, the genetic blood of a royal seed. And here we've got the dirty works of mankind going at breakneck speed to make sure that all of the corrupt seed of the earth is rubbing together with the holy seed to corrupt it, to taint it, to make it unacceptable to the Creator, therefore winning the battle of the genetic war. You think maybe that it's time to meet the elder brothers? Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan, that mighty archangel that was in the heavens, that is a real being, that was able to produce seed in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. He mixed his seed with the woman's seed, and he was restricted and bound from going back into the heavens.
Is he now using his knowledge to influence the large segment of our scientists to now want to launch out? The concept behind Kepler isn't new. The rookie, the sort of guy who skipped high school projects to build elaborate UFO transmitters. This is the type of guys we're dealing with here, ladies and gentlemen. He constructed his first photometer in college. He started thinking about how to apply the technology to the search for extraterrestrial life shortly after arriving at NASA in 1962. And it wasn't until the early 1980s, however, that he began to publish papers on photometry and pushing his bosses to finance a photometric mission. The response? Why, it's impossible. Undeterred, his team slaved over the project for the next 2 decades, inventing new technologies showing that they could achieve the necessary precision and applying for additional funding at every turn until finally in 2001. NASA said, "Uncle," as they gave in to the project, and after only 10 days in orbit, the satellite measured a dip in starlight of a few parts per million caused by a distant planet Jupiter, proving that it's sensitive enough to detect Earth-like planets. And by 2013, says Verrucchi, Kepler is likely to have located hundreds and even thousands of potentially habitable worlds. Oh, my. You know, I just get these cold chills running up and down my spine when I comprehend that man is finally comprehending what the Bible has said all along. That we're not alone. And we shouldn't be surprised when they find life. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, that would change the course of history. You talk about changing things. You talk about mind-boggling change. At least if they tell you about it, they probably already know about it. And indeed, I believe that they already know about it. And that they're just generally bringing this new generation of acceptance into the mindset to accept that we're not alone. It's going to be frightening. People's going to panic.
Oh my God! What if they kill us?
What are you worrying about? You're being killed right now on Earth with vaccinations and all this stuff that they're doing. This shadow secret government is so evilly intended to separate the core of the royal seed from the children of Satan, because it's a battle for turf. We're in a royal battle. Your seed, Satan, will bruise the heel of the royal seed, but the royal seed shall bruise your head. Well, it looks like the heel supplanters are winning the battle. I mean, the royal seed is getting scarce. Will I find faith on earth? Will there be anybody left as it was in the days of Noah when only 8 righteous genetic royal seed remained and is coming back to the time again as it was in the days of Noah? And ladies and gentlemen, unless the elders step in, I'm talking in this case the righteous elders, because the evil elders are going to be here ruling the earth with a rod of iron, and everybody is going to be eaten out of the hand of the beautiful elders that's going to appear. Satan's coming back as a beautiful angel. Well, you talk about Elvis Presley. You talk about Miley Cyrus. I mean, these idol worshipers that they would stand in the rain, the pounding rain, to listen to these idols that we've created, man has created and idolized.
What do you think about Satan, who can bring life and cures and marvelous signs and wonders as the ancient elder, second in command to the Creator himself, Yahweh? Are we in for a battle for our royal life? Do you reckon that this mighty angel, as beautiful and persuasive as he is, will come out of the heavens and rule this earth and cause the kings of this earth to set him upon the throne of the world in a new world order? Ladies and gentlemen, get ready, because Satan is coming, and you can believe one thing, the world is ready to receive him. We've got our ancient elders coming, and I believe that they're influencing the knowledge of this genetic sequence and the stimulation, assuming that we have the information that enables us to predict any difference between the experiences of stimulated or simulated minds, and we are being stimulated to assimilate this artificial intelligence to go in search where man can go, and they go in search and they'll send back the report. And this is coming from the knowledge of the evil mind to rule the earth with a rod of iron. All this knowledge is coming from Satan, ladies and gentlemen. But you know, you say, well, Pastor Betty, what's wrong with going up into the heavens and experimenting? We're spending a lot of money up there. Well, let me tell you what the Bible said. When Yahweh came down in Genesis 6, he found a evil elders, the elders, the brothers, the kinship. We're kin to all these people, ladies and gentlemen. We are their products. They manufactured us out of genetics. They took their own sperm and deposited in the receptors, the willing receptors. The angels came down. The Bible said the wicked Nephilim, the evil spirits from heaven, they came down and mated with the daughters of men. They have the right and they have the power to procreate and bring forth children. You wait. Is it already being done now? Is all these minds that are now in the scientific circles, just like this guy here, we will get Earth-sized planets and we will examine them, and then we'll know. This knowledge is coming from somewhere deep within the recesses of the ancient minds of these elders who are inspiring the children of the wicked to get more and more wicked. As the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says their mind is continuously on evil. They're not going out there to find the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's not what their mission's all about, ladies and gentlemen. They're going out there to Daddy. And Yahweh expressed it very clearly in John 8:44. Your father is the devil. And that devil is coming back to planet Earth as the elder statesman. He's going to prove he's been an old soldier. He's going to prove very wise. And man, if you ain't got the power, and if you don't have the spiritual intellect and knowledge, if you don't have the intestinal fortitude to stand, you will bow the knee and kiss his ring. And you'll seal your doom, because the Bible said many of the righteous will fall. And many will be tried and made white to walk with him in white garments. That means that they're going to come through the fire. They're going to come through the ringer. It's possible, ladies and gentlemen, for simulated civilizations to become post-human. I mean, we're on the verge of inventing this assimilated post-human being that is going to have the mind to act as does a human intelligence. And that's what was going on back in Genesis chapter 6. They were teaching man. The book of Enoch says that they brought many inventions out of the heavens and shared them with man. And man
man was enthralled. Man was, man, I mean, they sold their soul to these beings. These are majestic. These are not little old skinny, wimpy, evil-looking snake characters. These are beautiful beings that would, that's why there's so much of this, this deception is going on. This little green men from Mars and, you know, and all this, all these, ugly ducklings that, that's supposed to be abducting. This is just your government doing all this crap and sending you a strong delusion. But when the real deal gets here, the ancient elders, who are beautiful, Satan himself is a transformed angel of light. And he's got the power to deceive the very elect. Are you ready for the elders? Coming soon to a neighborhood near you. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tested. You're going to be brought before them. And man, I'm telling you, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in truth, if you don't have that genetic connection back to the ancient father, Yahweh, as he came on the earth and got a seed through Abel, when Satan came on earth and got a seed through Cain, well, Cain happened to kill Abel and destroy the genetics of Yahweh's offspring. Yahweh opted for a replacement. And 130 years out of the garden, he permitted Adam to know Eve and produce Seth, which means replacement in Hebrew. And from then, Yahweh began to guard this royal seed of Adam, which was the son of Yahweh, according to Matthew chapter 1, in the genealogy. Yahweh's son. Adam was a son of Yahweh. That's genetic offspring, ladies and gentlemen. Wake up here and smell the reality of the elders. Cain, if he was to examine him, he is a genetic offspring of Satan. John 8:44 said, your father's a devil, and the works your father did, he was a murderer from the very beginning, and abode not in the truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. There is a people that claim to be children of Yah, but they are devils. They're going forth in the world and through the earth working miracles. This is part of it here. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. The as Barak puts it, the funding which was given is only after 10 days in orbit, the satellite measured a dip in starlight, and here we have these artificial means of detecting. Now, this is programmed into a computer assimilated mind. It's in conceptually the most intriguing thing that's going on, and it says this is the, it's like the voyage of Columbus discovering something new. And it's in Newsweek, ladies and gentlemen, just in here this month. It says by 2013, we are going to locate hundreds or even thousands of potentially habitable worlds. You reckon we might want to go out there and park? Did you know that the Bible said in the days, in Genesis chapter 10 and 11, that they were building a tower whose tower would reach into the heaven? This is the space tower of NASA. But if you really forego that place and look behind the scenes of the shadow government, they're using these lighter than air craft that they've already invented. They've got propulsion units, ladies and gentlemen, that would blow your mind. They're already out there. He goes on to say, where we'll go from there is still unclear, but assuming that people are as fascinated by the discovery of real-life Earths as they are by, say, Will Smith fighting off alien invaders, we might launch a telescope designed to scan these planets for the presence of
CO2 and ozone, then invent a more intricate device to suss out whether these atmospheres contain isotopes of oxygen consistent with living systems. And the final step is a probe that can travel near the speed of light and gets there, shows us pictures, listens to the radio stations and television stations, and gives us a much better understanding of the new planet. Listens to radio and television stations? These are your master scientific minds. They know something's out there. Are we going to meet halfway? Well, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, about you, but this is fascinating. And that we are on the verge of meeting the elders. And I predicted tonight. I predicted it ever since I've been preaching and bringing the gospel. That has been my main concern of Revelation, and I was told to tell the people about it. I actually saw the end of time. I saw when Yahweh came. I saw it in a vision, and I can't get over it. It's still as fresh in my mind as a daisy picked on a Sunday morning. It's incredible how Yahweh is setting this thing up for the final finale. That Satan is going to come and he's going to reign here upon earth for a short time. Satan and his angels or his genetic offspring. And of course his genetic offspring here is going to receive him. They're already getting ready. They're already setting it up. They're already preparing a new one. Well, that's why they're doing this, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that the government is trying to run the nation. It's because that they are waiting for Daddy, the elder brother, to come out of the heaven as the master and craftsman of all deception. Coming soon to a neighborhood near you. The whole world's going to see him. It's going to be marvelous when these beautiful ships come out of the heavens from other planets and other systems, star systems. And they're going to reveal to you that the heavens is inhabited. And that they've been here all along. We just failed to understand it. And the preachers, the priesthood has deceived us to think that we're just little wispy spirits floating around and they're waiting on some rapture. Ladies and gentlemen, the earth is a habitable planet. And from this planet, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven, the new Jerusalem. I better change that from the J to the Yah. That's a more appropriate rendering. The new Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven to sit upon this planet, this beautiful blue orb that has been the battleground for these two warring elder factions in the heavens. Well, you got my message tonight. Now, I've got to, wind this thing up as soon as I can. You listen to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, and I have been so inspired to be with you tonight. Now, next, probably not tomorrow night. I'll be on tomorrow night. But perhaps next week, tentatively, I've got Dr. Gary is scheduled to come on and guest with me on Shepherd's Call. He's been here many times before. But Dr. Gary and I have been researching the coming pandemic alert. Now, there's something behind the injections of these vaccinations that sometime may have trigger responses to deliver packages in the ingredients to cause you to believe a lie and be down. It's like a hologram projected out of this genetic matter that's been placed in your body, and it has trigger mechanism to make you see things that are not actually there. Now, I don't know that that's what they got up to sleep, but I do know this. They're very interested. Dr. Gare is going to reveal to you that the vaccine was already patented and made before there was any swine flu. We're going to play.
play you an excerpt on 60 Minutes in 1976 that proves it. This is just a rerun of 1976. It's something that they plan, pull back, plan, see how the reaction is, and put it back in. Until they condition your mind to accept it, and accept it you will receive the mark of this false doctrine and this false God that's coming to sit in the temple to show himself that he is God, but he ain't. He is Satan, the premier deceptor. And his job is to kill, steal, and destroy the royal seed of this planet from the genes of Yahweh. That's what his game is. That's what his objective is. And there's something going on here, ladies and gentlemen, and Dr. Gary is to come on with me sometime next week. We'll give you the schedule. I'll announce it from the Monday show, Tuesday show. He's scheduled to be available sometime toward the end of next week. We'll give you that, and you don't want to miss that. Dr. Gary is so knowledgeable in these things that you better know that technologically mature post-human civilization, which would have enormous computing power based on the empirical fact, the assimilation argument, shows that at least one of the following propositions is true. One, the fraction of human-level civilizations that reach a post-human stage is very close to reality. We're going to go right back to Genesis 6, ladies and gentlemen. I've said it all along. As it was in Genesis 6, so shall it be in the coming of some men. As it was in days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of some. As it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the coming of the same. You see the wickedness rising up and taking power positions in huge, large seats. And the dumb sheep following the wolves. And the wolves surrounding us and eating us, basically destroying the royal seed. The royal seed is the sheep. And the wolves are Satan's children that are taking advantage. This is the bad seed that is trying to mix and mingle with the seed of royal seed of Yahweh to contaminate us and to kill us and destroy us from this planet. And it's working marvelously and wonderfully, and except there come an intervention from Yahweh and the elder brothers. There won't be no flesh of the royal seed left. That's the conclusion, ladies and gentlemen. You've got my message tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night on WWRB 3.185 around the world with the Shepherd's Call. I'm glad to have you in here tonight with me. Now, you can download us on live streaming. And Brother Bob wanted to remind you that he has a series of PDF files in the document channel of our website on oneyahweh.com. There's loads of stuff. And tonight I've been talking about genetic warfare. We have a booklet up there that would be a major revelation read for you, written by Brother Barry, our scribe up in the nation of Canada. You need to go to that. You need to look at it. And you need to know that Yahweh is still in the hunt. The elder brothers from heaven, the last ones in, ladies and gentlemen, are coming back to destroy the wicked elders and put down all rule and authority, and all of the seed of Edom, Esau, will be destroyed. There will not be one Canaanite in the kingdom. Oh, happy day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I love you. You can write me, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Now, that's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, 373874. Well, I'll get that right in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. My mind is on something else right now. You know that my telephone number, I will give you my telephone number. It's Pastor Buddy. You just call me tonight. I'm live here on a Friday night. You can call me at area code 423 626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write me, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, the zip is 37824. Do that, 37824, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. My, I love you tonight, and I feel the blessings and the Shekinah of Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, better get ready, because the elders are coming to meet you.
One pair of hands.